We're very thankful for your presence with us on this lovely Sabbath evening. We appreciate you coming along to the gospel service. We're going to sing together the words of the hymn number 70 as we commence the service. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. It's the hymn number 70. And we're standing as we sing, please. We're going to pray together just in prayer. Enter into the Lord's presence just at the throne of grace. We need your prayers tonight. So we encourage you to cry to the Lord just from the pew where you are for his help and blessing upon this service tonight. Our Father, we come to thee, glad we can seek your throne of grace. We cry for your help in the meeting this evening. We knew your help today already. We take time to give thanks for the blessing that we knew and experienced this morning. We thank you for the gathering and our fellowship together. And Lord, we acknowledge your goodness. Thank you for your hand upon the meeting. We thank you for the good word of God and the warning, Father, that you sounded to our hearts and to our souls. We ask you to remember the cause of Christ here. And Lord, we think of all of the activities of the powers of darkness, the warning of the scriptures that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And Lord, we're conscious, even more conscious from our study this morning, of how the devil would want to hinder and oppose the work of the gospel. And Lord, we're mindful of our work here, and we pray that you will overrule. We rejoice that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, our desire is that we'll see the hand of God at work. We pray, Father, that you will bind the strong man, that every plan and purpose of the devil might be brought to naught. And Lord, we want to pray that you will overrule, even as Paul said during his imprisonment, that these things will fall out onto the furtherance of the gospel. We ask, Father, that that will be our experience here in Armagh, that we'll see the cause of the gospel extended and advanced. We want to pray, Father, for new doors of opportunity. We bring before thee all that is planned for this summertime, all the efforts in reaching out with the gospel. And Lord, we pray for your evident blessing to be upon it, but we pray it will please thee to open other doors to us. Lord, you've told us that we have not because we ask not, and we're asking for doors of utterance, even as Paul spoke of when he wrote to the church at Colossae. Lord, doors to speak for Christ. We pray you'll give us greater doors than we've ever known, ever experienced before. We want to pray that you'll give us great doors and effectual for the spread of the gospel. We're asking, Father, that you'll add to this congregation. We pray that we'll see an advancement in the attendances. We want to pray, Father, there'll be an adding and an increase that will be given, that others will be drawn into these meetings. We pray that even through the broadcasts and the live stream of the meetings, that people from this area, that their hearts will be touched and blessed through the meetings and the ministry of your word, that you'll give them that desire even to be here with us in the house of God. Lord, we want to pray that that ministry will bear fruit even in that manner. We want to pray for those even in other lands that hear the gospel through the broadcasts. Lord, we thank you for how you've opened this door. We think of the advancement in technology that allows us to broadcast even these meetings all across the earth. We're humbled, Father, even by the thought of that. It solemnizes our hearts. And we want to pray that all that here will be spoken to, those that are out of Christ, that they'll be challenged, that you'll work on their hearts, bring them to Christ, that those that know the Saviour will be blessed and encouraged, those that are in remote places and that lack fellowship, experiencing opposition, that even through the meetings that they will be encouraged on in their walk with the Saviour. We do thank you for the lovely hymn that we've been singing together. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to sing of our lovely Saviour. Our prayer, Father, is that as we sing the songs of Zion in the service tonight, that they'll touch our hearts, that you'll even speak, Father, through the hymns. Remember, the apostles spoke of speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. Lord, speak through the hymns tonight as well. May they bless our hearts. Remember that the psalmist spoke about singing the Lord's song in a strange land, and we're glad we can sing the Lord's song even in our own land. And we pray, Father, our hearts will rejoice tonight in all that our Saviour has done for us. We pray that through the ministry of your word that you'll reveal the Saviour to us. Thank you for the studies in which we've been engaged. We thank you for all that you've, Father, recorded in your word about the Lord Jesus, about his person and about his work. And we recognise, Father, that there's so much more for us to see and to learn and to understand. And we pray for the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. May he come and guide us. May he give us light. We pray that he'll teach us tonight, that he'll touch our eyes. And Lord, we pray that our Saviour will be magnified in this meeting. And we pray for a sight of Christ. Remember the words of the hymn writer. We make them our prayer. Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, and of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. And Lord, our prayer would be that through the meeting that someone will be spoken to, someone that, like Peter, those many years ago, following the Lord afar off, may their heart be touched, may they be restored to fellowship again with thyself. We ask thee, Father, to speak to the unsaved, We pray that these evening meetings will be owned of God to the saving of souls. O God, save us from just having meetings. Save us from barrenness in our efforts in preaching the gospel. We pray for the power, the anointing of your Spirit. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon the meetings, even to the winning of souls. Our desire tonight, Father, is that one soul will be snatched, even as a brand from the burning. Hear and answer these our cries now. We offer them to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. 196, please. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Charles Wesley is the author of the hymn. It's hard to establish sometimes the story behind the writing of certain hymns. There's some hymns that there's no details given of the circumstances that led the writer to pen the words. As far as this hymn is concerned, there's three stories that are suggested were the circumstances. One was when Charles Wesley was on a ship on the way to the United States, and a great storm arose, and they were concerned, they were fearful that they weren't going to reach America at that time, and that's where the mention here of the refuge came. They were looking to the Lord just at that time to be their refuge and to keep them safe from that travel. There's another story where he was sitting one day in a study. There was a very heavy shower of rainstorm passing over, and a bird flew in from the garden, and the bird flew right into his bosom, right into his breast. You can imagine the coats that they wore back in the 18th century, and it flew right into the collar of his coat, as the opening line says, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, just as that little bird flew into his bosom and took shelter there, just in the inside of his lapel. So it suggested that that was the story behind which the hymn was written. The other actually has to do with Northern Ireland. When Charles Wesley came to preach in Ireland, he was down in County Down. He was preaching just on the shores of Strangford Loch, outside the other Killaloe, County Down. And as often happened when he was preaching salvation by faith in Christ, there was opposition, very, very strong opposition. Sometimes there would be a mob that would gather and that would physically handle the preacher, seek to give him a little roughing up. So he had to flee at that time, as had happened to him before. And Mrs. Moore, a farmer down there in the Island House farm, she gave him some shelter sympathetic to the cause of the gospel. She told him to go down the yard and hide in the milk house. And the mob was still seeking for him. They were keen that she would tell them where he was. She tried to settle them with giving them some refreshment. She went down to the milk house to get a little milk for them, and she told them to climb out the back window and hide under a hedge where there was a stream that was flowing. And it suggested that it was there, lying under that hedge in County Down, that he penned the words of this immortal hymn. Some of the historians discredit that story. In their estimation, Charles Wesley never visited Northern Ireland. He did come to Ireland, and he preached in the south. Remember, Ireland would have been united, unified in those days, but he never, in the estimation of some, came up into Northern Ireland. John Wesley didn't approve of this hymn when his brother Charles first wrote it. He thought it was too sentimental in its wording for God's people to sing. But there's many stories of how it has been a blessing to the church. Many stories of how precious it was to God's people. D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, loved it so much that he had it sung at his funeral when the coffin was being lowered down into the earth. Those that were standing around sang the words of this hymn together. So we're going to sing a few of the verses tonight, 196. We'll ask you to keep your seats. We'll leave out the middle verse and we'll sing 1, 2, 4 and 5, please. We're turning together, please, to read in the Word of God in Philippians chapter 2. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the second chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Remember when we were considering the first covering of the tabernacle, called the tabernacle itself, we emphasized that it represented, it was a picture of the exaltation of the Savior. This is one of the great passages of the Scripture that speaks of the exaltation of the Savior. The other great truth that goes along with that is the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. His humiliation and his exaltation are the two states of the Lord Jesus that are spoken of in the Shorter Catechism, if you remember the questions and answers that are given. So Philippians chapter 2 is one of the clearest statements in the Scripture of those two states of the Lord Jesus. We're going to read the opening section of this chapter together, Philippians 2, beginning to read at the first verse. We want to hear the word of the Lord. Adjust our hearts tonight. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We'll just close our reading there tonight, the end of that 12th verse, and our prayer is that God will follow with his blessing and bless every heart this public reading of his word. We welcome you to the Lord's house, to the Sabbath evening meeting. We're encouraged by your presence, thankful to you for your faithful support of the work of the gospel here and your faithful support of these meetings. May the Lord bless you in your own heart and encourage you. Encourage with his presence tonight. Bless you especially in our meditation of his word. If you've come to visit with us tonight, we want to thank you for coming along and pray that the Lord will bless you through this meeting as well. We're glad to see so many children and young people that are with us this evening. We want to welcome all the children along to the meeting this evening and pray the Lord will bless you for your faithful attendance as well. And we want to thank those who are joining us on the live stream for taking the time to join the service tonight as well. Remember, tomorrow evening, Monday, 7:30, is the next meeting of the church committee, meeting downstairs in the hall. We remind the brethren of that and encourage all to be present. Wednesday morning, in the will of the Lord, we'll be down in Killaloe Primary School to speak at the assembly there, and we value your prayers as we go along to speak to the boys and girls. 8 o'clock in the evening is the midweek meeting, our prayer meeting and Bible study. We stress the importance of that, and we encourage you to come along. I hope to be the preacher myself at that meeting. Next Lord's Day, then, the 28th of April, all the meetings at the usual times. Keep in mind that I'm down in Corrigarry for both meetings. The preacher here will be Mr. Stephen Castles, one of the committee men from the Bethany Church there in Portadown. And do please remember the seasons of prayer. We thank all who came to the prayer meeting tonight. It was encouraging to have so many present, and we thank you for that. So please do keep in mind the prayer meetings before the services. There is those two additional nights of prayer, especially keeping the gospel mission and timing in mind. Monday night week, Tuesday night week, the 29th and 30th of April, in the church hall. Both meetings at 8 o'clock, and they will last for an hour or thereabouts. And then on Wednesday night will be our usual regular midweek service. Keep in mind that the next meeting of the parent and toddler group will be on Monday the 29th of April, and then there will be no parent and toddler meeting on Monday the 6th of May because of the bank holiday. We thank you for your attendance at the meetings during the past week. We did have encouraging meetings. The ladies had a very good meeting with Mrs. McComb. Just to remind you that the total for the cards and the other items that were bought in support of the Emmanuel School in Uganda came to just a few pence short of £260. Mrs. McComb was very encouraged by that and asked us to pass on her thanks to the ladies. Then on Wednesday night we had a very good meeting, very interesting, a blessed time with the Reverend McCracken. Thank all that came, the young people that were present too. Just remind you, you can see that meeting online on Facebook if you weren't able to attend, or if you would like to hear all that our brother said to us again. Please put your name on the list in the porch for the new book. These are the names. They're priced $7.99. I would like an indication from the congregation just how many of those or additional copies of that book that we do need to order. As a congregation, we were saddened, greatly saddened by the death of our brother David Castles during the past week. As we had mentioned to you, his health had deteriorated very significantly just on Tuesday morning. The previous week, the doctors had given an indication they expected that he would have 6 to 8 months, perhaps 9 at the most. But his health deteriorated very significantly just on Tuesday morning. He had to be readmitted to Craigavon Hospital and then passed away peacefully there in the hospital on Wednesday morning, and just at about 7:20. So as a church, we do express our deepest sympathy to Edith and to all of the family, and also in our sympathies we extend our condolences to Edith's sister Christina and her family circle as well. We want to remember them also, so please keep just the whole family circle in your prayers just at this time, that they will know the Lord's presence, his peace and his grace, and the comfort that only he can give at such a time. I think those are all the matters we need to mention to you tonight. 203, please. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within mercy. I did implore, then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Saviour lifted me, now safe am I. 203 will stand as we sing all the verses together, please. we'll just seek the Lord together again, please. Father, we do praise thee tonight for your love towards us. We have sung much about that love tonight already. We pray, Father, that not just be something upon our lips, we pray it will be something that we consider, something that we feel in our own heart and soul. We pray that that love will touch our hearts afresh tonight, even as we come again to consider our Saviour and to think of his life, his earthly ministry, his death on Calvary's cross. Lord, we pray that we'll not sit unmoved in this meeting. We want to pray that you'll speak to our hearts, speak to us again about the greatness of his love, the greatness of his humiliation, when he came down to earth from heaven, who was God and Lord of all. We pray, Father, even in this meeting, that the love of Christ will constrain us, that it will draw us after Christ. We pray, Father, it will motivate us to greater service, to greater zeal, and even a greater vision for those that are still without Christ as their Saviour. We ask, Father, that the fire of God will fall upon our lives and upon this church. We pray that you'll send the fire. We're conscious, Father, that we're in great need of it. We pray for, Father, that consuming zeal, that we will burn ourselves out even in the service of the Master. Answer our cries, and we pray, bless this time, bless our hearts, and we want to pray that you'll open the Scriptures and teach us about Christ and feed us tonight upon the finest of the wheat. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 26 is where you'll find our text. It is found in the words of the 14th verse. Exodus 26 verse 14. Over the last four Sabbath nights we have been considering the opening 14 verses of this chapter. Last week we looked at the first part of verse 14. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red. And tonight our study is focused on the latter part, and the covering above of badger's skins. Remember, there's four in total, and the order that they're given in the chapters from the inside out. Remember that the four, one of the lessons from that is like the four Gospels that are complete in themselves and give us a different picture, a different aspect of the life and ministry of our Saviour. So it is with each one of these four coverings. We come tonight to the last, to the final covering, the fourth. The outer covering, you'll see the word that is used right in the middle of our text, a covering above. So this is the very outer covering, the very outer part of the tabernacle itself. The name is given there in the text, verse 14. Again, like the ram's skins, it's also described or spoken of as a covering. So what that means is that there was the tabernacle. That's the name that was given to the first of fine twined linen. And then there was the tent. And that was the second, the one of goat's hair. And then there is the two coverings, the ram's skins and the badger skins. The material of which this covering was made is described there at the end of the text, the badger's skins. And let me make it clear, I want to explain to you just what is being referred to. That is not our badger. If you're from the countryside, the rural community, you'll often see a badger, maybe particularly in the winter time, in the dark nights, as you're going along the road or maybe out in the fields. The little fella, well, he's maybe not so little. He's quite hard, black and white. That's what you probably imagine is being referred to in all the times that you've read this passage, maybe in all the times that you've heard it spoken about. That is not the badger that Exodus 26 verse 14 is speaking of. The badger that we're familiar with here in Northern Ireland is not known in the east. It is not known in the Sinai Peninsula. So I want to make that very, very clear to you tonight. So you're asking, if it's not the badger that we know, then what is actually being referred to here? Well, there's two views. I'll set them both out for you very quickly just now in the introduction. You can weigh them up for yourself. One view is that it was a fish that was like a seal as far as its shape was concerned, but much, much larger, maybe 18 feet in length. That was something that was common around the area of the Red Sea. Some of those that describe it say it is like a mermaid in its shape and features, but especially as far as its tail was concerned. So that's one view as to what the badger was. The other is that it was an animal, something like a stag or an antelope that we might be familiar with here. They were common out there in that little eastern area, especially in the wilderness through which the children of Israel wandered. But I stress to you again, just so that you're clear, it is not like our badger, the badger that we're familiar with here in Northern Ireland. But I do encourage you, as in all of these things, take a little time to look into it yourself. Remember that Bible dictionaries are very beneficial. I emphasised the importance of that in a little series we did, maybe was it back at the beginning of last September, that we went through some of those books that are profitable for Bible study. And remember that the internet can be a vast resource as well in searching out and studying some of these subjects. So the skins are, if you think of what it says, the badger skins, that reminds us again, these badgers had to be killed. And the reference is in the plural, so there's many of them, and they were joined together to manufacture or to produce this covering. And again, we're not told how. That's different from the tabernacle and the tent at the beginning. There was very clear detail given as to how those pieces were all joined together, the fine twined linen and the goat's hair that was spun by the ladies. We're not told here how the badger's skins were to be joined. Let me say something to you about the colour. It is a natural colour. Remember in the previous covering, the ram's skins, it was dyed. Naturally it would have been white. The instruction the Lord gave was it was to be dyed red. But this colour is the natural colour of that Middle Eastern badger. Some of the writers on this subject would suggest that the word badger has more to do with the colour than it has to do with the actual creature itself. And the colour that they suggest is a bluish-grey colour. You may be familiar with the Septuagint. The Septuagint was the Greek version of the Old Testament that was widespread in use throughout the Greek Empire. Remember the Greek language that was used all across that empire, so there was a Greek version of the Old Testament scriptures, the Septuagint. And the word that's translated for the badger in the Septuagint is the word blue. So it indicates and stresses the colour. The Greek word for badger indicates a dark blue. So the colour of this covering, and it's very significant when we come to consider it in a moment or two, is the bluish grey. The lesson is, this covering was dull. It was something that was drab. It was something that was very unattractive to the eye. As far as the outside appearance of the tabernacle was concerned. When it comes to the size, just like the third, just like the ram skins, there's no dimensions that are actually given. We can construe that this was the largest. It had to be the largest of the coverings because it covered everything. It covered over that part of the structure, and it covered over all of the other coverings that were below it. So those are just a few of the background details. And I stress to you, when we come to the badger skins, that it is, again, a picture. It's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some points I'd like to make to you tonight that will help you get a little sight of the Saviour, get some lessons about our Lord Jesus Christ. Think first of all of the question, what it actually hid. What did the badger skin hide? You think of the ordinary appearance. We've emphasised that, the drabness of it, the dullness of its appearance. Well, it hid what was inside. That ordinary appearance hid everything that was below. Men, as they looked on from the outside, they couldn't see God dwelling within. Remember that the Shekinah, the cloud, the evidence of God's presence on earth, God actually came and dwelt within this structure in the Holy of Holies. So because of the badger skin, men couldn't see God's presence. They couldn't see God dwelling in this tent. They couldn't see the glory, the splendour of the tabernacle. They couldn't see all the beauty of the interior, all of the wealth that there was contained within it, all of the other beautiful coverings that were below. Only the badger skin was visible as far as the eye was concerned, those looking on from without. And you think of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't there a picture of him there? Paul said in him, that is speaking of his humanity, in him dwelt, or in him were hid all the treasures of the Godhead, his deity, his glory. All of those things were hidden by his humble appearance and by his human nature. Remember when he was here on earth, they said, is not this the carpenter? Imagine, that is a description of the Lord of glory. Is not this the carpenter? As far as this fellow, they said, we know not whence he came. See, they could only see, as it were, the badger's skin. They could only see the ordinary or the humble appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ whenever he was here on earth. As Isaiah the prophet put it, those words that we're so familiar with, there was no beauty that we should desire him. But who he was, that was hidden. The Lord of glory. They didn't recognize him. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But it's also, in addition to who he was, been hidden, why he died was also hidden. You think of the previous covering, the ram's skin. The ram's skin couldn't be seen by those on the outside. It was covered by the badger's skin. You remember the idea, or one of the ideas, of the ram's skin was the substitutionary death of Christ. Remember the ram in Abraham and Isaac's case, the ram that died in the place of Isaac, the whole truth of substitution. Well, that is hidden because of the badger skin. And that reminds us that why he died was hidden to the world as well. Men couldn't see the purpose of his death. They thought he died as a criminal. They thought he died as a blasphemer. Isaiah said, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Can I point out to you there that the we did esteem him stricken, that's a reference to Israel, to the nation, to the people of Israel. That was their view. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. They thought that he was dying as a punishment from God for his sin. You see, men and women, why he died was hidden to the view of natural men. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Men can't see the purpose. Men cannot understand the value of his death. That's why there's no interest in gospel meetings. That's why there's no love for the things of God. That's why multitudes around us are not saved. They can only see these things, the great truths of the gospel, the great glory of Christ. They can only see them if God reveals them, if they are enlightened by the work and the ministry of the Spirit. Paul said that he was given a ministry. One of the things that was included in it was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Spiritual enlightenment. John Newton, in his testimonial hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. God opened his eyes, and he opened his eyes through the regeneration of the Spirit. And I encourage you tonight, brethren and sisters, pray. Pray that God will open the eyes of people in this town of ours, in this city. Pray that God will open the eyes of family members and friends and neighbours. Pray that God will open their eyes to see their danger, to see their sin, to see the beauty of Christ, to see their need of him, and to see their need of his so great salvation. So that is what it hid, men and women. Think as well of what it gave. The badger skin was a covering, and as a covering, it was tough. It was something that was strong. It was something that was water resistant. Remember, it gave shelter. It gave protection to the tabernacle. And it gave protection to everything that was contained within that tabernacle. Think of the wilderness journeys. If the wind blew, just picture in your mind maybe a sandstorm that would pass by. If the rains fell, and if the sun, and how hot and severe the sun would have been beating down upon them, and all of that weather, this badger skin was a protection. No harm would have come. All was safe that was contained within that tabernacle. The badger skin gave shelter, and it gave refuge. And so too, men and women, with Christ, our Saviour. Think of the storms of life. When the storms of life are raging, tempest wild, on sea and land. Well, he's a refuge for us from all the troubles, all the attacks, all the difficulties, all the bad news of life that you have to contend with. You can find refuge from all of those things, and you find refuge in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Think of just how many times the Lord Jesus is described in that way in the Word of God. Let me give you some examples. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our help, a very present help in trouble, our refuge. Think as well of Deuteronomy. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Think as well of eternity, men and women. Think of the storms of judgment. Think of the storm of God's wrath. And in Christ, you are safe. What a truth that is. In those words of Charles Wesley's that we sang together, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Did you notice how the second verse began? Other refuge have I none. There's no other refuge for your soul. There's no other refuge that will protect you in eternity from the wrath and judgment of God. So what does Christ give, men and women, to those that are in him, are found in Christ? He gives shelter, and he gives refuge. And I pray that you'll take great comfort from that knowledge and from that truth tonight. The third question I want you to think of is, what was it actually used for? This is something that's very, very interesting in the study. What was the badger skin actually used for? There's only one other reference to badger skin in the Word of God. It's found in the book of Ezekiel. This is what it has to say. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. That's Ezekiel 16, verse 10, if you'd like to take the reference. Notice that it says, and shod thee with badger's skin. So, what was the badger skin actually used for? It was used for shoes. And it was used for the best sort of shoes. The ladies in the meeting tonight will be interested in that. You go out and you look at the best shoes, the most expensive shoes. Well, way back then there were some fashion fads as well. And the badger skin is what was used to make the best shoes. Remember that that's an indication of the sacrifice of the ladies way back then when they came to build the tabernacle. Remember that they gave of their own substance. There was an appeal made, bring me an offering. And this is one of the things the ladies brought. They brought their shoes. They're very expensive shoes. So what a challenge that is to our hearts tonight. So the badger skin was the shoes. That means this was something they walked upon. And there's at least two applications that we can bring from that to you tonight. Believer, if you think of walking on the badger skin, that indicates that you're to be like Christ. You're to walk after him. Remember, there's a picture of the Saviour here. And we're thinking especially of his humiliation, that there's no beauty that we should desire him. How he humbled himself. How he took upon himself human flesh. So the humiliation of Christ, we're to walk after him. And we're to walk after him, men and women, in his humiliation. He says, follow me. We're to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. Did you notice in our reading tonight, Philippians 2, the exhortation to humble yourself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that he was of a meek and quiet spirit. We're to follow in his footsteps in that regard as well. Meek and lowly in heart. So there's the challenge, brethren and sisters. Christ likeness in our walk here upon this earth. But there's also a solemn lesson here for the Christ rejecter. Think of walking on the badger skins. The idea there is of no regard, no thought for Christ, no thought for his love, no thought for his mercy, no thought for his sinless life, no thought for his atoning death, no thought at all for the great salvation that he seeks to present and offers to you tonight. You remember the book of Hebrews says, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. It says badger skin's a picture of Christ. And it reminds us of the Christ rejecter in that fearful manner, trampling underfoot the Son of God. Blatantly, carelessly rejecting Christ and rejecting his gospel. Do you remember what the psalmist, Psalm 41, it's one of the prophetic psalms, looking forward to the cross. It reminds us of Judas. Remember it says, mine own familiar friend, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Rejecting Christ in such a callous and fearful manner. So men and women, because of his humble appearance, men treat Christ with absolute contempt. So many are doing that today. Seems to be the mark, the characteristic of our society, the world in which we live. Can I ask you tonight in the gospel meeting, is that your response? Your response to the Lord Jesus? Is that your attitude to him? Is that your response to the gospel, to the forgiveness of sins that he presents and invites you to come and to receive and to partake of? Let me say this to you just in closing tonight. If I could return to the thought of what it actually is, the badger skins, I emphasise to you the thought of this being a fish. Some are against that idea. Some of those that write on the subject are against the thought of this being a fish. For this reason, they're against it. Because this type of fish was something that was unclean. Remember, no fins, no scales. If you read through the book of Leviticus, there's very clear instructions, descriptions given of the animals and the fish that were unclean. So this type of fish that is being suggested here would be an unclean fish. And they asked the question, well, how could something unclean cover the tabernacle? How could something unclean be a picture of the Lord Jesus? Well, let me give you this suggestion. It was unclean because of what it represented, the outward appearance of our Saviour. Remember that he had a human body, his humanity, a real humanity, a human body just like ours. And Paul said that he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Notice the words carefully. Made in the likeness of sinful flesh. It wasn't sinful because he didn't sin, but it was the likeness of sinful flesh. It just looked like our sinful bodies. And that, men and women, is an indication of the depth, the great depth of his humiliation, that the Lord of glory would appear in such human form. What humiliation he underwent. So men and women, just consider tonight, ponder it carefully. May the Lord impress it on your hearts. May you think of it as you go from the meeting tonight. Think of how he humbled himself, and how he humbled himself just to save you from your sins. So what an example that is. What an example for us to consider, and what an example for us to follow. So the badger's skins, what it hid, what it gave, and what it was used for. May the Lord bless these truths tonight to every heart. 701 is a hymn of invitation. We're going to sing it as we close the service tonight. If you're out of Christ, we urge you to take these words to your heart. Come to the Saviour, make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. 701, verses 1 and 3 will stand as we sing, please. Father, we ask thee to speak to hearts tonight, speak through your word. We thank you for our Saviour. We thank you for the greatness of his love. We thank you for all that we have considered tonight. We pray, Father, help us to ponder, to meditate upon these things. We pray that you might be pleased to speak through them. Our earnest cry is, as we've just sung together, that some that have heard this message tonight will come to know Jesus Christ as their Saviour. They'll come to him this very night for salvation. Lord, hear our cries. We want to give ourselves into your keeping. We thank you for that great assurance that you're our refuge and our help. And Lord, we pray you'll enable us to take refuge in thee. We ask thee to watch over us through the week that lies ahead. Guide our footsteps. Use us in thy service. We pray that you'll lead this work on with yourself. So hear our prayers, Father. And now we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.